248-539-9797. The telephone number, same number to text us if you'd like. Gator and Stoney with you today. Doug will be back on Monday's program. Kane behind the glass. Kenny working the phones. Evan lurking. We're all here for you on the Carson Anderson extravaganza as we head into the weekend. Big night tonight. A lot going on. Obviously, locally, we've got the Pistons in the NBA Cup taking on the Toronto Raptors.
Well, that team is really banged up, too.
Good. Take advantage of it. Take the win and say thank you very much and move on. And it's all about surviving and advancing when it comes to the Cup.
Damn right. You want to go to Vegas.
I do want to go to Vegas.
If they get to Vegas, taking the show on the road?
I mean, last time I was in Vegas was during the Summer League, so... Uh-huh. I saw a lot in Vegas. A lot of tall people in Vegas that week.
Yeah, Gator only goes to Vegas for basketball, Stoney.
Okay.
We all know this. Mm-hmm. Summer League, NBA Cup.
That's what I'm about. That's why the Cup is so important to me.
They should figure out a way to have the floor of the Cup at the Sphere. How bizarre would that be?
I don't think...
Kang's been in the
I've
Sphere.
Been there. Have you been to
I saw the movie, Postcards from the Earth.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to a concert there yet.
It's still crazy to be in there, right?
I know.
And see that?
Kang was there for the NHL draft.
Yeah, and I only go to Vegas for hockey.
We only send Kang to Vegas for hockey.
Yeah, but
people would think it's the other way, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
And you should save all you because you're a collector. You know, Kang collects. Do you have any, like, ticket stubs or anything from that draft?
I have a couple things. They were giving out uncut trading card sheets of hockey players like Connor Bedard and Austin Matthews, so I have a bunch of that stuff.
Because that is going to be a collector's item because that's the last, at least unless they change their mind again, on-location draft. They're not taking the draft on the road anymore.
Yeah.
Which is really disappointing because it's fun.
It was so cool to watch these general managers walk up to other tables.
Right.
And it was unique. I know they're doing it for costs, whatever.
But Vegas was even better because they brought all the stars out. Like Celine Dion making the pickaxe was really cool.
Yeah.
Buffer being out there, that was really cool. And I've always enjoyed watching the teams gather around the table making their selections, and then the whole entourage walks up there. They've got the jersey. They're all waiting for it.
We'd like to thank the Colorado Avalanche for winning the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Thanks the city of Las Vegas for being great hosts.
Yeah.
Making our pick will be the assistant general manager, Dan Cleary.
Congrats to Cletus's wife for being pregnant, with that being said, the Winnipeg Jets.
I don't know if you're meaning Cletus from the Pistons who works in their PR department.
That's not what I intended.
I know.
But my apologies to congratulations.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever's in order for Cletus.
I don't know if he's married even.
No, but that part, I love that whole thing. And then the kid would come. It was literally a kid. That's his 18-year-old, pimple faced kid would come out of the crowd. And you're like, come on, this guy is not ready for the NHL. Come on, seriously, this guy? And he'd come out onto the stage. They'd give him the jersey. He'd be swimming in the jersey and have the sport coat and tie underneath it. Or we'd have to give up the sport coat to some hot chick who's standing there. They had the Vegas showgirls where they were taking it. It was great. And now that's not going to be right. I forgot about that. That's the last year they're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
Unless they miss it so much, they got to bring it back.
I think they should.
But tonight, more spectacle. Or is it more sport? Because we got, we have the Cup, the NBA Cup, which is probably more spectacle than sport. We've got the Red Wings playing tonight, which we're all, Red Wing fans are going to be excited to watch that game. And it's on late night, so maybe by the time you get home after dinner or something like that, you're ready to sit down and watch some hockey. But there's also the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. And we talked a little bit about the fight yesterday. But the question I have about this, and we got into a little bit in the crosstalk with the guys in the morning show, is this going to be spectacle or is it going to be sport? Because my only bummer with this whole thing is that if it's predetermined, I'm not going to say scripted, but predetermined. If this is something where they have an agreement, okay, look, Jake's going to win the fight. We're going to set this up for another fight, and then you guys can go at it. And I have a hard time thinking that's the case because I don't think Mike Tyson would do that. I don't think he would sully his reputation, his legacy to kowtow to somebody else, particularly a YouTube kid. But apparently these guys are friends. Despite the fact that Jake Paul stepped on his foot yesterday and Tyson slapped him, and I think that was kind of a setup. And I didn't like seeing that because I thought, oh, come on, they're playing it too much. I have a concern that it's not going to be a legit fight. And I think it's nothing earth-shattering. I think a lot of people maybe share that.
Can I ask a question with the risk of being sounding older than I am? I know who.
Well, you saw Jack Johnson fight back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
How was that David versus Goliath fight, Donnie? Yeah. Were they scalping tickets?
Well, the worst part about it was I couldn't get valet for my chariot. Anyway.
Donnie!
Does America know who Jake Paul is?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe not our generation or your generation.
I know who he is because I had kids.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Is it people that are the generation and their whatever generation that is, a Gen Z or whatever it is, they absolutely know because they've grown up with it. That's the YouTube generation,
right,
if you will.
Okay.
They've grown up with it. And it's hard not to. What's interesting is that generation may not know who Mike Tyson is. Certainly not the way that you and I and Kang remember Mike Tyson.
Right.
And this is where this gap is. This is why there's some interest in it, because you got the big generation gap. Guys like us that remember how devastatingly powerful and good Mike Tyson was back in the day, coming in with a cut-up sweatshirt.
You'd sit there and wonder why, obviously money, why anybody, especially when early on in his career, would even step in the ring with him, because you could get literally
back in the
killed.
Day. Yeah, you risked your health.
Yeah,
and when he came back, when he got sent to jail, and he came back from that, and he fought Hurricane Peter McNeely, and that was done quickly.
I went to a pay per view. It was like the State Theater or something.
To a pay per view. One of my friends got it, and we watched the fight. And then there was, I think, Bruce Seldon was the next guy that fought him, and Bruce Seldon wanted nothing to do with Mike Tyson.
Right.
Bruce Seldon had this body, he had this physique of a bodybuilder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped into the ring, and you could tell from moment one, he was scared to death and did not want to fight Tyson. And that fight lasted nothing. And, he still had it. But then as time went on, he didn't have it. He lost it mentally, bit Evander Holyfield and the whole bit. And then he started losing all the fights at the end of his career that joke of a fight at the palace that took place. And
Andrew Gullotta,
yeah, and all this. And he ended up, I think, really hurting his legacy in the end. And then kind of disappeared for a while. Does the hangover. Everybody loves Tyson again. Gets a tattoo on his face and all that. And people are back on board with Mike Tyson, even though he's still edgy. You don't know. King, remember we did an interview with Tyson? We did a podcast with Tyson. We recorded and he was on the phone. We went in the other studio and did this. He was still wild Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike's had an incredible, crazy, crazy journey. If you follow him from since he was a youngster. I mean, he was the youngest heavyweight champion ever, right? Like, what, 19, 20 years old?
20 years old,
incredible.
Yeah.
And then to where he is, you mentioned the jail stint and coming back, going away for a while, coming back all of a sudden. Now we obviously know him as a fighter, but people know him now as something different. But they know who Mike Tyson is. That's how much he is in pop culture now.
And, part of this is when we talk about generations, I think part of the reason that our generation can't stand Jake Paul and the whole YouTube thing is that our generation feels like you had to pay your dues in some respect.
Correct.
Right? And this is a generation, and this is painting it with a broad brush, and I understand that, but specifically Jake Paul, that it feels like this guy's gotten into the fight game and hasn't had to pay his dues. He's picking and choosing who he's fighting from moment one with opponents he knows he's going to beat and embarrass, and he still hasn't fought. And then this choice of Mike Tyson is interesting because it's a legend, but it's a legend at 58.
Yeah. I mean, look, when he beat Michael Moore, when George Foreman beat Michael Moore in 1994, Michael Moore, I mean, Foreman was 45 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was
Michael Moore was
stunning.
Undefeated.
And he Foreman had just lost his previous fight to, of all people, Tommy Morrison. And it was like, oh my God, this old man, he's 44 years old. He's winning the heavyweight championship of the world with this unbelievable comeback. And it's
he wouldn't sit down between rounds. He just stood up.
And that was 14 years ago.
Yeah. That's a 45-year-old who wasn't chasing after the fights.
I thought about it. I do the math. It was 1994. It was 20.
No, keep going, Gate. Or yeah, sorry, keep going.
Well, it's 20. It's 20, 30 years ago 30 in 1994. So yeah,
30. Yeah, 30 years ago.
Either way, but still, there's a difference between 45 and 58. There's a huge gap.
There's a huge gap.
Right.
Now, but there's also the physical difference. You know, George Foreman was a much heavier fighter and he didn't have real defense. He did this weird cross thing with his punches, but he wasn't chasing after the fighters. He basically let the fight come to him, and he had such power, he would just take care of you. And it was a nice story for a few years, and then it was done. Why? Right. Because he was 45. Mike Tyson looks like he's in great shape, but he's 58.
Right.
Hey, he's in great shape for a 58-year-old.
Yeah, you can't ignore the fact that he's 58. Does he really have, and again, with this fight tonight, I'm interested, but I don't know if I can actually bring myself to tune in at the time when it comes out. I said yesterday, I feel like this is one of those fights that I want to know who wins. If Jake Paul wins, I don't want to watch
it. You want to go in the Tyson-Paul bubble?
No,
it's the opposite. Not,
it's the exact opposite. I don't want to go in a bubble. I want to know who wins.
Right. It is the exact opposite.
And that'll determine if I'm going to watch the fight. If I hear that Tyson knocks him up, then you betcha I'm logging out of my Netflix account right away. But if Jake Paul wins, I don't want to see it. I want nothing to do with it because it was a sham to begin with and an embarrassment that you would agree to fight a 58-year-old. And it's elder abuse or whatever you want to say. I just would, you know, it's just a different mentality.
Let me give you the middle scenario. What if it's a really good fight? Is that possible? I don't think so.
Tell me
you obviously don't think so.
I'm not going to watch. I don't think I'm going to watch it live. If it's a really good fight and Jake Paul wins, I'm probably not going to watch it.
And what time does it start? Like 11?
Is that
no?
Late?
Well, the whole card starts at 8 p.m.
Okay,
that's when the card starts.
Is there a fight on the undercard?
There's a bunch of
undercard. It's intriguing though.
Yeah, there's the women's fight right before it. The Cole main event, I guess you would call it, is that should be a good action filled fight.
Gator said intriguing.
Yeah.
Women's boxing, with all due respect, is not that intriguing.
I'm just telling you that's the undercard.
I didn't know if there was like a celebrity fight or something like that.
Yeah. My girl, Mary Jo Sanders, Charlie's daughter, she retired a while ago. I used to watch her fight.
Layla Lee is not fighting. Christy Martin?
No, Sydney Sweeney. She's doing the biopic of that.
Wow. That is amazing stretch.
I know. Sydney Sweeney's so much better looking than Christy Martin. Can I say that without being politically incorrect?
Your opinion?
Oh, I'm a misogynist because I said woman's better looking than another. I know.
I don't think you're going to get an argument from people.
No, okay. I was trying to be
Sydney Sweeney's the it girl in Hollywood right now. And you got Christy Martin who was, a female boxer back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So not so much. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. The Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight tonight. You know, do you think it's going to be spectacle, or do you think it's going to be sport? Are you going to tune in, and why or why not? We'll talk about it next year. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1 The Ticket.